This fall, three teenage girls left the Dominican Republic and came to New York City, one of the top destinations for legal immigrants to the United States. Bienvenida, Reniris, and Giovanna Garcia left behind their mother, their grandparents, and their friends to live with their father in Queens. Like many other young immigrants, they came to this country because they want to study at an American college. Their dream is to become engineers. NPR's Barbara Mantell talked to the girls about their perceptions of the United States and their adjustment to life here.
Every weekday morning, the Garcia girls join the other students waiting to move through one of the six doors lining the front of Long Island City High School in Queens, a large new building with more than 3,000 students. It's six times the size of their old school in the Dominican Republic. In the hallways, teenagers speak English, Chinese, Korean, Bengali, Hindi, Romanian, and like the Garcia sisters, Spanish. The girls arrived in October speaking no English. Learning the language may be the biggest adjustment they have to make.
Hang on just a minute. Let me have someone else read event number one. Someone that's got a really loud voice. Giovanni?
Armando goes to the airport, runs to a plane.
Bienvenida, 17, and her sister Giovanna, 14, are in the same English as a second language class. They get more than 2 hours of ESL instruction each day.
Bienvenida, what happens next?
The plane take off and fly east.
Both girls sit near the front of the room, diligently taking notes and raising their hands. Chris Watkins, the teacher, in his office after class, says the girls are part of a group of five or six students who regularly participate in class.
Some kids just are like sponges, and they're not in ESL classes for more than 2 years. Other kids just are there for, it seems like, forever, and they never get out. Language acquisition it varies from student to student, and depending on how strong they were academically in their own language, in their own country, it's pretty obvious. When a kid comes to the school and he's illiterate in his own language, he'll be in ESL probably for the rest of his high school years.
Watkins says the Garcia sisters are in the group making good progress in English. But Bienvenida is concerned. At 17, she will graduate from high school in just a year and a half. It's too short a time, she says, to learn English well enough to get accepted at a good four-year college. And she says college is why she came to the United States.
That's why I worry, because I'm only going to learn the very basics, not the level of English that they'll use at the university. They're going to see that I don't understand it, that I don't understand many of the words.
Dorita Arauz, a bilingual guidance counselor, says Bienvenida is not wrong to worry. Arauz says a few years ago, immigrant students like Bienvenida, who get good grades in ESL and in their bilingual history, biology, and math classes, would get into the city's system of four-year colleges, and many would do well there. Arauz says lately it's become much more competitive.
Last year, with the cuts in education, even in the college, they are not accepting a lot of students who are in an ESL program, never mind bilingual. They don't give the same value. They don't consider it that they're ready for college.
As Bienvenida and Giovanna walk to the cafeteria, they look different from many of the other girls. They wear no makeup. Bienvenida has a simple ponytail. Their loose-fitting T-shirts are tucked neatly into jeans. Dorita Arauz says they look like most of the girls she sees when they first come to this country, modest. It's in the hallways, in gym class, and here in the cafeteria where Bienvenida and Giovanna find themselves with the most diverse group of kids. But the students tend to separate around lunch tables according to race and language. Bienvenida and Giovanna sit with other Spanish-speaking teenagers from the Dominican Republic and Colombia. They're laughing, making jokes about the food, until the end of the lunch period, when an American-born student holding a jacket suddenly walks over to the table and starts accusing one of the Dominican boys of dirtying the sleeve of the jacket. The laughter stops, their faces become blank, and they look down as if they wished they were invisible. After school, back in her apartment, Bienvenida says confrontations like the one in the lunchroom between English-speaking students and those who don't speak the language are common, although the big fights usually happen outside of school. She has a hard time making sense of it.
No sé cuál es su motivo porque a veces pelean por nada.
I don't know what the motives are. Sometimes they fight over nothing. Other times, it's simply because someone bumps into someone else. Recently, I stepped in front of a black girl. She was going in front of me, and without meaning to, I stepped on her toe. I wasn't even aware of it. And she pushed me. Why is she pushing me? I don't think I did anything to her. It's confusing.
Bienvenida says sometimes Spanish-speaking students fight each other, with the more established immigrant kids picking on the newer arrivals. When asked why she thinks the first instinct of many kids is to fight, Bienvenida says,
to defend themselves, to get respect, so that others will be afraid, so that the same thing doesn't happen to them, so that they don't get hit. Here there are so many different people, so many different languages and different cultures. I think that's why there are problems.
Bienvenida's sisters arrive home about a half hour after she does. They have slightly different school schedules. The girls share this one-bedroom apartment with their two younger brothers, their father, his sister, and her two-year-old son. The girls say they always come straight home from school, they're afraid to hang out, and they say they don't feel comfortable yet using the subways or buses to visit friends, many of whom live further away. Reneras and her sisters also say they don't date.
Me?
Well, us? We're not going out with any boys. At least I'm not going out with any boys. I think about it in the future, maybe. If I find one.
A Dominican?
No, he doesn't have to be a Dominican. He only has to be respectful. As long as he doesn't have the mentality that most of the boys have here.
They all want to dance, party, have sex. They play hooky. They leave school to party and play hooky. The kids, they come to this country and they get out of control.
Vivian Selenikas is the assistant principal of second languages at Long Island City High School, and she says it's true. Several of the immigrant teenagers she sees are in rebellion against authority in the home. And the reason, she says, is that often these students come to the United States to live with someone they barely know.
It's very common for a cousin or an aunt or an uncle to temporarily become the guardian here. And this is very often someone that the child may have seen once, twice when the person visited the native country, and all of a sudden this person is now legally responsible for them and is now taking over the role of a surrogate parent. And I think that in that situation is where very often there is a great deal of resentment toward differences in rules.
Selenica says it's different for the Garcia sisters. They have left their mother behind in the Dominican Republic. Their parents are divorced. But they have their father here, who Selenica says is an involved and concerned parent. Hector Garcia works in a gas station in the neighborhood from 3 to 11 at night. Before work one day, in a coffee shop across from the high school, he talks about his schedule and says it doesn't allow him to see his daughters much during the week. He says he worries about them.
According to stories and the news that I've heard, most of the boys, the teenagers, leave school when it's not allowed to go and do bad things. I'm afraid that my girls might become contaminated and follow the same path. I'm afraid they'll start cutting classes to go for walks in the park, to go on the subway, to go with any little boyfriend they have.
Hector Garcia says he tries to advise his daughters, but he says talking is just not enough.
We also turn on the news for them that comes on the television and the radio. That way they can see for themselves what happens to kids here. For instance, we saw on the news that a young woman was raped at her girlfriend's house. And then when we ride the subways, I see young girls getting rowdy with boys, and right there and then, I show them, look, this is what I don't want to happen to you.
He's so concerned that he begins to ask our translator, a mother of two, also from the Dominican Republic, for advice. What else can I do, he says. He's worried in particular about his middle daughter. She's doing very well at school, but at home she seems sad.
Reneiris, she always sits alone. She's thinking. And when I ask her what's wrong, she says, I'm thinking about my mother. She's the one that is the saddest, but the others are very well adjusted.
I think about my mother. I feel very bad, because after having all the kids home and all that noise, she's alone there now. She doesn't cry. She's a woman that really holds back a lot. When we left her, her eyes were watery. But then she said, go, go, it's getting late, and we didn't see her cry.
It's not just Reneres. Bienvenida also sharply misses her mother, in a way her father may not realize.
My father gives me direction, especially moral direction. But with a father, you have to hold back. You have to speak to him with respect. You have to tell him things in a way that won't upset him, that won't make him think that you're turning into a lowlife. I can't talk to him about the same things I used to talk to my mother about. I can't ask him about sex, about pregnancies, about things that my mother would explain to me in her special way of talking. She used to explain things to me in a joking way.
Bienvenida says she can't talk to her aunt who lives with her. She says she barely knows her and the aunt would be too shocked. Yet neither girl wants to return at this point to the Dominican Republic. They are determined to go to college here, and they like the fashions, the stores, the tall buildings in Manhattan, the reliable electricity. Lights used to go out regularly in Santo Domingo. They like the fact that you can pick up the phone and the ambulance, the police, and the fire trucks will appear a few minutes later. Back in her office, Vivian Selenikas, the assistant principal, is preparing for school vacation, which she says can be the hardest time for immigrant teenagers who don't speak the language.
It's very, very difficult. The problem is that they feel very isolated. They don't feel free to get involved outside of their home. They get bored. Where an American-born English-dominant kid would go hang out with their friends and go to a concert, go to the movies, go and do something that would truly make it into a vacation. If you ask some of the students, what did you do over the vacation? Other than going out and accomplishing my assignment, most of them slept and watched television.
The Garcia sisters say they will stay close to home on vacation while their father works, doing homework and playing with their younger brothers and two-year-old cousin. But on the weekends, they will go out with their father, shopping and visiting relatives. Soon, they say, they hope to be confident enough to venture out on the subways and buses without him. In New York, I'm Barbara Mantel reporting.